I greet you again this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I too want to extend a very hearty welcome to all of you who have come. It is good to see so many of you here, and it is also good to see that some of you have come back. Some of you I haven't seen much in the last while, and it is good to see you here. I welcome you all. This morning it is my aim to speak a little bit on unity or oneness. And I want to begin by reading a few verses from Ephesians chapter 4, starting from verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." When Jesus went back to heaven, he gave gifts unto men. It says he made some apostles, he made some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, and there are others. We know that some of these gifts were given by God already earlier. There was prophets in the Old Testament. There was those that evangelized. But we know that even today there is other gifts that God has given to people, gifts that may not necessarily be mentioned here, but we know that there are those who are real encouragers to others. There are those that people that come alongside when they feel someone is hurting, and they stand with them. But for what reason did God give these people? It says in verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." It is for us that we would be edified, that Christ's kingdom would be built. And then in verse 13 it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." You know, I think God isn't finished with us yet. If he was, he wouldn't leave us here. He is still working in our midst. And maybe he is using one of you who are sitting here to help another person along in his Christian walk. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. You know, in reality, if I look around in here, we are very different people. We are not nearly the same, one from the other. God has created us that way. But he wants us to be unified, and he wants us to be unified in him, in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 6, verse 16, it talks about six things that are an abomination to the Lord. It actually says that he hates these things. And one of them is he that soweth discord among the brethren. How important is it to you that we are unified as brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, there's one thing that really encourages me about the letters that Paul has written in the New Testament, and especially the letter that he has written to the Philippians. When he addresses the church in his opening verses in Philippians, I'll be taking my text out of Philippians, so let's turn to the book of Philippians. But I want to show you one thing that he kind of mentions again and again in the scriptures, and that he especially mentions in the book to the Philippians. When he addresses the church in his opening verses in Philippians chapter 1, he addresses the whole church. He says, Paul and Timothy, or Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. He says to all of them. We find that throughout his epistle. In verse 4, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. All the saints he was concerned about. If you look at chapter 1, verse 8, he says, for God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It was his longing for all of them. If you look at chapter 2, verse 17, he says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Not the joy that you have and I don't have. It is something we have together. Chapter 4, verse 21. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with you. The brethren which are with me greet you. So he wanted us to greet every saint. And today, this morning, it is my prayer that as you have come, you will realize that it is important for us that all of you are here. I appreciate everyone that has come, whether you are younger or older. My prayer would be that of Paul, that our joy would be the same, that our fellowship would be in oneness, that we would salute or greet each other, that everyone that is here today would feel they are welcome. You belong here. Paul calls them all saints. I believe this is truly an example of godliness. Jesus treated everyone the same. And that promotes unity. Before we go over to our text, let us unite in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you. Thank you for a beautiful morning. Thank you for the ability to rise out of our beds, to come into your house. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit has drawn us here. And Lord, I want to say thank you for each one you have brought into the sanctuary. This morning, we pray for your presence. We pray that we would feel the moving of your Spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, for each one that has come, that you would bless them. May they receive something out of your word that will go with them, that will stick with them in their minds, something that is edifying for their lives, for their faith. And Lord, we pray that through this morning you would be honored and glorified as we read your word, as we pray to you, as we sing in song to you. May you be uplifted. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. I want to read the first four verses. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Thus far. Verse 1 starts out by saying, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. The word therefore reveals to us that Paul is linking these verses to the last verses of chapter 1. And if you look in verse 27, he exhorted them to conduct themselves as becoming the gospel and to be steadfast in unity, so that the gospel would make good progress or prosper. He says in verse 27, only let your conversation, or we could say your conduct, be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, when you think of disunity, you think of the different ways in which disunity comes, and I believe Paul spoke in verse 27 to 30 of the first chapter. He talked about how we are to stand in unity when we face persecution or pressures from the outside of the church. Now, we all know that there are non-Christians that try to bring the church down, and they are not happy with people having church. They are not happy with people coming to the Lord, and so they try to bring the church down. There is that persecution. We see very little of that in our country, but we see much more of that in some other countries where the churches are really persecuted. But in chapter 2, Paul continues to urge the church to stand together in unity. But I believe now he is talking about a unity that comes to trial from the inside. And we see much more of that in the churches in our area. And I believe we ought to be very, very sensitive. There's a verse in, I believe it is John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And there is such a thing as division from within. People not getting along. And when people don't get along, people get hurt. There is this unity. There is strife. There is church splits. And there's a lot of talk from the outside world, that church can't get along, that church can't get along. There's splits there, there's splits there. I had a ride with a man, this is a number of years ago. We went through the town of Ozer. This man was an ungodly man, and there was a church being built in Ozer. And he said, isn't that funny? These Christians, it seems like everybody has to have his own church. Small town like this and so many churches can't get along, he says. You know, when we are not unified, when we are not united in Christ, it leaves a bad picture. Paul wanted there to be progress. Progress in the gospel, in our faith. I believe far too often we underestimate how important unity is in the church and how important it is for the church body. As I was studying these four verses, God gave me a greater revelation of verse 2. Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, friends, there is great joy when people come to the Lord. We know that Scripture even teaches that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. When people come to the church, they become members. But Paul says his joy, or the joy, reaches its completion when people are unified. I think as a pastor, I am able to identify somewhat with Paul. Not only does it give us joy because it works easier in our congregations, but it gives us a much deeper joy because we know that when there is unity, there is some spiritual understanding. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Then he says in verse 4, for while one saith, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos," are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul said to the Corinthians that they were yet carnal, meaning that is the opposite of being spiritual. Paul said to the Philippians that they were to let their conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. What does our life look like? Is our conduct such as is the gospel? When others look at us, do they see the Lord Jesus? You know, Jesus made it very clear in his high priestly prayer that we are to be united in Christ. I want to read a few verses from John chapter 17. And the first one is John 17, verse 11. And Jesus said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Jesus wanted his followers to be one, like Jesus and the Father. Then let's look down to verse 21. Of that same chapter, "that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Do you notice a few times in this verse he talks about that the world may know, that the world may see there's a difference? It would be my prayer that if, as the world looks at us as a church family, they would see Christ, that we are one in oneness. It speaks to the world when we are one in mind. Unity is a part of God's nature. There is unity in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, they are in perfect unity. Now we know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are three different persons. They have different, they do different things, yet they are in oneness. And friends, it is only in God that we as sinful people can become unified. That is why Paul starts chapter 2 the way that he does. The Apostle Paul, he doesn't criticize the Philippians or demand change of them. No, rather, in his wisdom, he points them to Christ and all that we have received of Christ. I want to read that first verse again. Philippians 2, verse 1, and I want you to notice all the ifs in this verse. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies. Paul does not use the word if as a word of doubt whether God has given these gifts or not. He knows that we have all received these gifts. But he is saying, if you have received these, then where is your response? I want to focus a bit on each line here. He says in the beginning, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. God said in Isaiah 51, verse 12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Consolation is comfort. God is our comfort. Isaiah 66, verse 13 says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted. God has comforted us through sending his son Jesus into our lives. Jesus said in John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Think for a moment, if you did not have Christ, if you did not have the comfort of Christ. And here you are, knowing that you are a sinful person, and the end will come for you. All those who have been born must die. And if Jesus is not part of your life, you know what the end will be. Scripture says the wrath of God remains on him. Dennis read the verses, he that hath a son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. So let's say, for instance, God had not sent his Son. Where would we be? Where would be our comfort? But now we have the comfort that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can have the comfort that we have been forgiven. We can come to the point where we say we are ready to meet our Maker. He has comforted us. We draw most of our comfort and encouragement from the fact that Jesus came to cleanse us, to bring unity with us and God. He forgives our sins and he saves us from eternal damnation. He deeply loves us, and when we slip and fall, he invites us to come to him again. When we go through difficult times, he promises he will never leave us nor forsake us. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes these verses in the first chapter. He says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So many times we receive comfort from the Lord, and we can pass that comfort on to the next person that goes through those same struggles. The second line that Paul writes to the Philippians, he said, "If you have any comfort of love." Have you felt the love of Christ in your lives? How he died as a sacrifice on our behalf? How he lifts us up in the darkest hours, and he puts people into our lives to encourage us? Like Paul's great love for the Philippians. The Bible says that as a person, we may fail to love our spouse, or we may fail to love our child. Yet Christ continues to love us. His love is perfect. He loves fully and continually. God is love. Then the third line says, "If any fellowship of the Spirit." Romans 8, verse 9 says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You know, every true Christian has God's Spirit indwelling in him. It is the Spirit that dwelt in Jesus that also dwells in us. We become one with fellow believers through the Spirit that dwells in them also. And so we must realize that I'm not the only one that has the Spirit. You have it as well. When you receive Christ, you receive the Spirit. So we have fellowship in the Spirit. The Greek word for fellowship means participation, partnership, and sharing. We all share in this. We're the same. The Holy Spirit is unifying. The Holy Spirit preserves harmony in the body of Christ, in the church body. Where the Holy Spirit does not rule, we know how opposite can be. There is confusion, there is disorder. The fourth line that Paul spoke to the Philippians, he said, "If any bowels of mercies." Now, I know that many of your newer translation Bibles will not use the same word as the King James Version does. Some of your versions will probably say affections or compassions, meaning feelings of love or kindness, feelings of pity. In the Greek word, the word bowels means intestines. We all know what that is. We all have that. The reason why it is being used is because it signifies the most inner being. Jesus Christ's affection towards you is not just a little bit on the outside. It is deep within our most inner being, in the heart. His grace and his mercy go deep within us. His mercy means he withholds his punishment that we actually deserve. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Did we receive mercy? Did we receive comfort? Verse 4, I read it before, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, everywhere in Scripture, we read that like as Christ did for us, so we are to do to our fellow man. If we receive comfort, then we are to comfort others. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also was merciful. And so, friends, Paul teaches that it is in Christ that we become one, that we are united and become unified. We have all received the blessings from the Lord, and we are to allow these blessings to flow to the person beside us. He says, if you have received these gifts from Christ, then fulfill ye my joy. What Paul is saying, there is one thing that makes my joy complete, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. To be like-minded means to think the same thing. Like-minded thinking is very important for unity in the church. It is also very important for unity in the marriage. But what would make you think the same as someone else? Philippians 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The more we know Christ and his word, the more we will think like him. And the more we know God's word, the more we will be like-minded. Unity comes from being like Christ, who is one with the Father and one with the Spirit. Then Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may have the same love. Having the same love means to love others equally. And in order to have unity, we are to love like Jesus loved. Jesus loved everyone the same. You know, it is not healthy for a church or for church unity when there are cliques in the church, when there are people that only stick with their own little group of people and never go out to talk to others. That's not healthy for the church. This does not mean that you have to abandon your friends or that you would not get together with a group of friends at home. Not at all. But it does mean that that you make a point of loving others also. Caring for others, especially when we are in a church setting. Now I know, and I've often heard this, there's people that say, I can't do that, that's not my gift. But I want to explain that a little further. Having the same love means the love that Jesus had. It is an agape love. It is a love of the will, a love of choice, not emotional, not preference. This love is based on an intentional choice to do what is best for others. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, love seeketh not her own. It is not about me. It is about what would Christ want for these people. Jesus takes it as far as to say that we are to love our enemies or those that persecute us or hate us. This is something that I believe every believer or every Christian can do. It may not come the same from all of us, but we can show love. Just by going to someone and saying, I'm glad to see you here today, or it encourages me to see you come, it does something. I believe this is something we can all do because the scripture never asks us to do something that we can't do. God never commands us to do something we can't do. And the last part of verse 2 says, being of one accord, of one mind. The word one accord point to being like music, in harmony or in tune, joined together. Now, I'm not sure if this is a repeat of being like-minded, or some think that Paul is talking here about one aim, one purpose. One thing is certain from verse 2. Paul stresses the importance of unity from every angle. And Paul encourages in verse 3 when he mentions the things that work against unity. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory are selfish ambitions. Strife and selfishness are opposites to unity, and they do not come from the same spirit. James 3, verse 14 and 15 says that envy and strife does not come from above, meaning it doesn't come from God, but rather, he says, it is earthly, it is sensual, and it is devilish. You know, selfishness has ruined many a church body. It has ruined many a marriage. Selfishness is a very big part of the human race. But friends, as Christ's children, we ought to be different. Paul says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, friends, I could try and do a lot of explaining about this verse, but in reality, we are best off if we take it for what it says. To esteem means to think highly of. And this verse says that we should think more highly of others than of ourselves. That is true humility. And without that, we cannot have unity in the church. Paul says to the Romans in Romans 12, verse 10, that we are to be kindly affectionate one to another, giving preference to the other person. I believe when any person is doing a service for selfish reasons or to make a name for himself, then the Lord's work will not be completed. Paul tells the Philippians, let nothing be done with selfish ambitions. And in reality, it offends God and it divides people and it divides churches. The Apostle Paul uses verse 4 to further explain. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Two times Paul mentions every man. So we must each be mindful that this speaks to us. It is for every man. Now the verse says that the things, it talks about let every man, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The word things is a pretty broad term. Some say it means your own interest compared to the interest of others. But I believe it goes even further. You know, when we are sick or we go through trials, it is very beneficial for us to think of others. Think what others went through. Think of the trials that others have. And your trials might not be as bad. Think of the trial that Jesus went through. I've heard many people that have gone through great suffering, and they compare their trial to the trial of the Lord Jesus, and they say he suffered much more. In the New Testament, the word like-mindedness is used at least 26 times. Maybe in a little different wording. 10 times it is found in the book of Philippians. To be of the same mind. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Is it our aim to bring glory to God? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, until we all come to the unity of the faith, may Christ have his way in you. Let us bow for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for the unity that we have seen in Jesus Christ, the Spirit, and the Heavenly Father, that you are three persons, yet one. We thank you that we see no division in the Godhead, that you are perfectly joined together. We thank you that the Lord Jesus prayed for us many years ago, that we would become one even as you are one. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross to bring unity between us and the Heavenly Father, that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be like-minded one toward another. Oh, Father, help us to comfort one another with these words. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be a light to those around us and to be a light for you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as you have given us life here in this world, that we may use it for the edifying of one another, but for your glory and for your honor, for the big building of your kingdom. Lord, we ask you now that your Spirit would go with us and that your Spirit would bring back to our memory the things that you have left us in your word. Speak to us, Lord, not only this morning, but in the week. As we live our lives from day to day, may we be that light. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I cross a river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Yes, life is living. Worth the living because he lives. We have so many things to be thankful for in the Lord, and may the Lord's goodness unify us in him. I want to thank all of you who have come this morning. It's been an encouragement for me that you are here. It is my prayer that as we look at our time, the time that we are in, that we will realize how important it is to be unified, to work together for Christ. Let's not allow the small things to divide us. the small differences we have. In Jesus, we have an amazing inheritance. Let us stay united in him. I want to close with a benediction from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. You may depart, and may the peace of the Lord go with you.